Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. One of the best things you can do to improve your health is get at least 7 hours of quality sleep every single night. I know, it's hard to get that much sleep. Your mind keeps you awake, you're thinking about things, you get uncomfortable, you wake up early, and you just can't fall asleep again. There are hundreds of reasons why you can't get 7 hours of quality sleep every single night, and I've probably at least told you 100. But hey, listen, it's super important because your body heals itself when you sleep. And if you're not getting enough quality sleep, you're increasing your risk of disease and making it harder to lose weight. Yes. Wait, would you like to know an easy way to get more quality sleep every night? Make sure you're getting enough magnesium. Believe it or not, around 75% of people don't have enough of it, which helps explain why so many people have sleep problems. Unfortunately, most magnesium supplements are not full spectrum, so they won't fix your magnesium deficiency or help you sleep better. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, sleep-enhancing effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed, and you will be amazed by how much better you sleep and how much more rested you feel when you wake up. For an exclusive offer for my listeners of the Health Fix Podcast, you guys want to go over to www.magbreakthrough.com/healthfix. And you can save up to 42%. Yes, that's right. 42% savings on Magnesium Breakthrough when you go to www.magbreakthrough.com/healthfix. Hey, Health Junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. Robert Floyd. He is a sought-after board-certified medical doctor, and he's also certified by the Institute for Functional Medicine. He's a writer, he's an athlete, he's an entrepreneur. He was a ski patroller, lived in the mountains, lived the ski life, love that. But let me tell you a little bit more about him. He specializes in gut health, men's health, and weight loss, and he has helped thousands of clients trim down, obtain abundant energy, eliminate their brain fog, and achieve optimal health. And how did he do this? Well, he got the idea after transforming himself from literally being fit to fat to back to fit again. And now he's on a ranch, loving life, and boy, is he entertaining. And gosh, he's got some great stories. So let's jump in the podcast so you can meet Dr. Floyd. Hey, Health Junkies. I have Dr. Robert Floyd on with me today. And boy, are you guys in for a treat, because we have been talking about all kinds of things over the last few weeks. And you know what? He's just a joy to chat with. So I think you guys are going to love this podcast. And of course, we're talking about all you can do, like all the things to reclaim your health, because so many folks, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you have this idea like, oh, I really want to eat healthy, but then you're like, oh, crap, like, what do I do? How do I do it? And he's here to really empower you and help you to kind of understand that it's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. And in fact, he's even done it himself, and he is a doctor. And I think a lot of people look at us and go, oh, you guys are in that healthy space. You know everything. You came out of the womb knowing it. And I think that's something we definitely want to dispel today. So, Dr. Robert, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, we've had a lot of fun conversations over the last couple months. It's been really great to get to know you. I just want to give you a shout out. I know doing what you do is really helping a lot of people, and people who need it, and people who don't normally know how to find. And you know, maybe they've been kind of lost in the quagmire of their hormone imbalances and medicine and diet and yada, yada, yada. And so I just want to give you the attention that you deserve and the thanks for making the world a better place.
Well, I appreciate it, and we'll just keep doing it. And that's what we're here for today, because I really want folks to leave this podcast feeling empowered. Because I think a lot of times you get in the weeds of your health, and you're watching your weight go up, and you're feeling more fatigued, and you're just like, oh my God, this is just like this terrible circle of like, I wake up every day, I feel like crap. How am I going to do the things to take care of myself? And you and I have talked about that quite a bit, but I think what folks
really love to hear is that we aren't perfect and we have our own stories where, like, you know, the Cheetos are talking to you or whatever your vice is, you know, it's that thing, right? So tell folks a little bit about what got you into functional medicine. And folks, we're going to talk about functional medicine versus conventional and stuff like that here in a second. And of course, I want to know, like, all the details with Dr. Robert here. But first, let's talk about what was the thing that inspired you to jump on board from being a conventional medical doctor to jumping into the functional medicine realm?
Okay, well, first of all, I'll let you know, back to not being perfect. I guarantee you, my wife, I'm luckiest man in the world, totally married up. She would tell you that I think I'm perfect.
You know, it's mindset, right?
I mean, shit, you know, I, you know what? Yeah, it is mindset. It's a big mindset. Always leveling up. That's what I like about you and your podcast and your Instagram, getting people to level up. And you used the word earlier, empowering. That is super, super important. And I've been really, really working on trying to get, you know, find my why, you know, the Simon Sinek, you know, start with why, find your why. And I'm working, and part of it is, and the elevator pitch is, you know, you use the word empower. And my whole goal is, you know, I want to inspire people to empower themselves, because we all have the power to do it, you know? And if we don't, you know, that's one thing you're asking why I got into functional medicine and out of regular medicine. Because, you know, regular medicine just doesn't, it's putting the onus on someone else. Most of the time, you know, you go to a doctor's office, they're like, oh, well, you've got this, so let's give you that. Well, I got an idea. How about you've got this? How can we change your diet, your lifestyle, your sleep habits? Do you snore? Do you drink coffee? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm drinking, you know, Four Sigmatic, you know, Lion's Mane coffee right here, you know? So leveling up with the brain health here. How I got through from regular medicine to functional medicine. I mean, it's a long story. That's like a 3-hour story. I can try to shorten it in 3 minutes, and if I start rambling, please stop me. What? I went to medical school to be an orthopedic surgeon. You know, I got an intramedullary rod in my tibia. All my friends have blown their ACLs. I'm a fix it guy. I'm a mechanic. I can tear my dirt bike apart, put it back together, tear my mountain bikes apart, put them back together. And I'm just good with my hands. I'm nimble. I have good dexterity. I have a good, mechanical IQ. You know, I'm not a mechanic, but that's what I liked. And I liked the idea of fixing people. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I literally went to med school to be an orthopedic surgeon. Long story again, but this one guy talked to me about, he's like, you should do it. And so I actually went to med school to be an orthopedic surgeon, but wasn't cool enough to get in the club. It's a very difficult club to get into. And if you don't get in, guess what? You don't get to be an orthopedic surgeon. People are saying, well, why don't you just go back? It's a 5-year residency, and, you know, they don't make money when you don't make money when you're in residency, and residency is grueling. It's, you know, 80 hours a week minimum, probably more. That's just working hours. You know, that's not including the time you're home studying. So I did 2 years of trauma surgery down in Las Vegas. I didn't match. Again, that the whole medical match thing it's kind of like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter algorithms. Nobody really knows how it works except for like maybe 2 people. And so I did not match into what I wanted to get to. And I ended up matching into trauma surgery, like just a general surgery with emphasis on trauma. So I did that 2 years in Las Vegas. Wow. I enjoyed the surgery part. I was really, really keen on intensive care, ICU trauma, or ICU medicine, critical care medicine. It's awesome. I love it. It's actually one of those things of like root cause. Like you look at people's, their vitals and what's going on, and you start from the top and fix them through and change, you know, the physiology, change their nutrition, whatever, yada, yada, yada. It goes on and on. Critical care medicine is really neat. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I tried again for another 2 years to try to get into ortho, didn't get it. I then tried to get into a emergency medicine rotation or residency there at the hospital I was at. And, you know, those guys didn't give me a job, which really was a kick in the nuts. And, you know, here's them. So they really should have taken me because I was a known entity. But, you know, their excuse was, well, this isn't really your passion. This isn't what you want to do. Really, dude? Okay. So anyway, what happened was I got it was the second year of residency. I was in the ICU working. I was the senior resident because I was a second year. That sounds pretty funny looking back. And all of a sudden the match comes out and I don't have a job. This is in like March or April, I think. And I didn't have a position set up for July, 3 months from then. I was basically I was going to be out of a job. So I ended up, what you can do is you can scramble. They call it a scramble. Like if you don't match, because if you go through medical school and you don't get a residency, you're pretty screwed, right?
Wow.
You are never going to be board certified. You're going to have a hard time finding jobs. You may have to go into research or do something else, but you're not going to be a very employable MD. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, and it really kind of sucks. A lot of people don't know this, that there's a lot of people that go to medical school and don't get into a residency and then they're screwed. And, you know, I had just finished 4 years. I spent $254,000 to go to medical school. And so here I am, I was making, you know, 35 grand a year for 2 years as working 80 hours a week. You do the math. It's less than 10 bucks an hour. Here I am like 3.5-4 months away from being unemployed and unemployable in the future. So I scrambled and, you know, God bless UNR, University of Nevada, Reno. They somehow screwed up their match process and had a couple spots open. And, you know, shout out to UNR Family Medicine, an amazing, amazing program. I was blessed because, you know, I used to going through med school, I'm going to be a surgeon. I'm going to be an orthopedic surgeon, you know. Fuck family medicine. That's stupid. And lo and behold, here I am 2 years later in family medicine. And wow. So they actually, they are a really, really well oiled machine. And the faculty at UNR Family Medicine is amazing. Very, very top notch. And, you know, my program, I learned a lot through going through that program, although they did make me restart over at year one, which kind of sucked for me, but whatever. So I had 5 years of training.
Wow. You know,
I have 5 years of residency training as a family medicine physician, which is pretty unheard of. Normally it's just 3 years.
Wow.
So, you know, I did 3 years of family up here in Reno. I still live in Reno and I learned a ton, you know, it was really great actually. And it kind of helped with my, empathy and compassion factors, because I wasn't very empathetic or compassionate. I'm still working on those, to be honest, you know, all transparency. And then, you know, it was really great. I did a lot of different rotations. I learned more medicine and I delivered probably 80 to 100 babies, which is one of the neatest things I've ever done.
Wow.
God forbid I have to deliver any babies. Actually, I did deliver more babies in the ER. So what happened after that? Again, sorry, long rambling story, but I'll get back to the point. I got my third year of medicine, family medicine. You know, you can do what they call moonlighting. You can work even if you're not board certified yet. If you've done 2 years, you can work in ERs, rural ERs, because they need help.
Yeah.
So I started working out in Winnemucca, and then I graduated. And I continued doing ER medicine because it kind of worked really well with me having, you know, my trauma surgery background and my critical care. But then also with family medicine, I could take care of pediatrics because internal medicine doctors don't take care of pediatrics. They don't take care of kids right. and babies, right? So here I am, you know, I was also before that, I was a ski patroller and an EMT and a firefighter. So ER medicine really resonated with me. And I kind of like it. I was also a bartender and a waiter. So I can, you know, I can have things come in, I can prioritize, I can, you know, multitask, and it just worked really well for me. So I did that for, I did 2 years, a year and a half of hospital medicine in Reno. And then also I was an ER doc in rural ERs, and I became a medical director at one of the rural ERs. And then, you know, I delivered a couple babies out there in the ERs, which is kind of not a fun thing to do when there's no other doctors in town. It's kind of scary. Cause I mean, 99% of the time they go perfectly fine. Sure. Sometimes they don't, you know, women die in childbirth still, and babies die in childbirth too. And so it's a pucker factor 10 doing that for sure. Mm-hmm. So then I quit the hospital job I was working in Reno, and I focused directly solely on emergency medicine. And I did that for years. I would leave home, go out and do a 32-hour shift, a 64-hour shift, a 78-hour shift, whatever. And I just got tired of being, you know, awake all night, because some nights you would get some sleep, some nights you didn't. Yeah. And I got tired of being away from my wife again, love her to death, luckiest guy in the world right here. And so I just said, you know, hey, I'm going to come back into Reno and quit that job and start working in an integrative medicine clinic. And because I'd always kind of had a penchant for alternative medicine. You know, I went to CU Boulder, hippie central there. Yep. And I learned a lot about stuff there, cool stuff, acupuncture, shiatsu, herbal medicine, yada, yada, yada. You know, I was a vegan for a week. Didn't last long.
I feel like that everyone kind of has that pattern out there. You end up like being like, oh, look, everyone else is doing it. And then you're like, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, personally, I believe that unless you're really, really good at the vegan diet, it's probably the worst diet you could ever eat.
It's because you end up on the junk because you'd spend up all day cooking. Like all day. That's where I went off the rails. Cause I'm just like, yeah, I need a personal chef if I'm gonna do this.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's good vegan diets and there's good vegan people out there. You know, Frank Kramer, mm-hmm. from HBA, he's another guy who cooked like a vegan chef. He's an award-winning chef. He has a vegan program. It's great for some people. Actually, it's not even vegan. I'm sorry. It's whole food, plant-based diet. That's completely different because vegans can eat, you know, mac and fake cheese out of a carton. And yeah. So that's why I say vegan diet can be really bad, because a lot of them eat processed food and they think they're healthy.
Yes. Something to really pay attention to.
Exactly. And so, you know, after years and years and years of, you know, seeing very, very sick people in the hospitals and the ERs and doing my integrative stuff and with a penchant for kind of like, I hate to call it alternative medicine, because the reality is today's Western medicine with super, super heavy on pharmaceutical medicine. To me, that's alternative medicine. We've only had antibiotics since 1940. 1940 was the first time someone used penicillin successfully. Okay. That's 80 years ago, 82 years ago. Okay. So, you know, and it kind of pisses me off. I mean, I could get kind of worked up about like them saying what we're doing is alternative medicine. What we're doing is the medicine that's been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And so pharmaceutical medicine is alternative medicine. Thank God we have, you know, medicine, Western medicine. Thank God, you know, we've had some vaccines that were fantastic. I'm not an anti-vaxxer at all. I'm totally anti-COVID vaccine because it's not even a vaccine. And actually again, circular crazy shit. I just listened to another podcast and I actually read this earlier. A gentleman from the British Medical Journal, he's an editor of the BMJ, which is a huge, 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 yeah. widely world-renowned journal, came out and it's it's not peer-reviewed yet, but it's a pre-publication that the COVID vaccines are causing more harm than good, period, flat out. Statistically, causing more harm than good. You can't argue it. The stats, you can't argue it. Anyway, so.
Don't argue what I've seen in my practice, that's for sure. And I'm sure you've seen stuff too. It's every doctor. Yeah, if they say they haven't, I don't know what planet they're on. It's
yeah, crazy. We're going to see a crazy, crazy amount of crazy stuff coming soon. I mean, we're going to see an enormous amount, I think, of, you know, cancer, infertility, all sorts of bad stuff. Anyway, I digress. Mm-hmm. So after seeing all these sick people and, you know, having a penchant of, that's the third time I've used that word. It's a good word though. I haven't used it probably all year. Yes. And having a, you know, I'm an outside the box guy. You know, I think about outside the box. I try to do everything outside the box a little bit because I'm not constrained. I've always been kind of a rebel. And, you know, I quickly realized that in hospital medicine, and, you know, I still say this today, even when I worked in the hospital last week, I told people, I'm like, this is putting band-aids on severed limbs. It's too little, it's too late. And it's not really helping you. You know, me treating your diabetes with metformin and insulin isn't helping you at all. All it's doing is band-aiding the symptoms, right? You know, yeah. And so it's not really curing jack squat. Same thing with high blood pressure. Okay. If I give you have high blood pressure, you come into me at the hospital or in, you know, and I say, okay, well, here's your, or your metoprolol and your lisinopril. Well, I didn't do anything for you except I'm masking the symptoms that you have. So, you know, and I learned that, you know, luckily through functional medicine and just kind of my own brain, that it's not really doing anything. It's just masking symptoms, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, obesity, fatty liver disease, you know, all the stuff that you deal with as well, the hormone imbalances. Those aren't diseases. Those are just symptoms of another something going wrong in your body. And so somehow, I don't know how I did, but I stumbled across functional medicine, the Institute for Functional Medicine. Mm-hmm. And I watched one video and I was like, holy shit. Wow. This is right up my alley. So then I committed, I dove head first and spent almost 3 years learning and a lot of money. And I got certified and here I am.
I think that's a great story. You know, all of the aspects of it, because one, I think people think that most of us docs always just were like, yeah, I'm going to be a doctor. They don't think about like the ski patroller side of things, you know, or I used to work for SC Johnson Wax of all places, testing yard garden rape, and was like, something's not right here, you know? And so we all come from different backgrounds. And I think it's great for folks to hear these stories. And then also just because there is this concept, and I hate the concept of conventional medicine versus, you know, functional versus that, it does make me a little sad, because it's like, you know, we could all work really well together. And I want that someday. And I don't know where it's going to go. But for me, I want to bridge those gaps, because I, you know, emergency medicine, I got nothing when it comes to herbs and, you know, and naturopathic stuff. Acupuncture, I may be able to provide a little anesthesia, right? But that's it. So one of the things that I want folks to understand, you know, kind of in terms of functional medicine, what the heck does that mean when someone's going, okay, I want to see a functional doctor versus a regular medical doctor? What would you tell someone?
Functional medicine, root cause medicine. Okay. So Western medicine versus functional medicine. Okay. So on one side, you have Western medicine. You come into the office, you have high blood pressure, and you know, they're seeing 37 other patients that day, by the way. So they have less than 7 minutes with you, because that's what insurance demands these days.
Yep.
And that's how they get paid. They're going to say, okay, you have high blood pressure. Here, Janine, take this metoprolol or take this lisinopril, because, hey, we got to protect your kidneys. You have high blood pressure. It's going to ruin your kidneys eventually down the line. And so here's a pill. All right, take these pills. I'll see you in 3 months. Okay. So functional medicine is, on the other hand, root cause medicine. You come into me and you say, hey doc, I'm here, you know, I've been having headaches and I don't know why. We do, you know, some blood pressure checks, and hey, your blood pressure is 190 over, you know, 95. You have high blood pressure. And I say, wow, okay, well, let's talk about, like, you know, I may need to start you on some antihypertensives for a short period of time, because, you know, I want to stop any of the adverse effects of high blood pressure. I mean, high blood pressure causes, you know, aneurysm, stroke, you know, heart attacks, you name it, you know, but it's a chronic thing. So I would say, you know, in my functional, my minimum time for a patient visit is 30 minutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's 30 minutes of me sitting there talking to you and listening to your story. Okay. My, you know, I only see, you know, on a busy, busy day in my clinic, I'll see like 12 patients. You know, that's busy for me. So then my intake is, it's a 90-minute new patient intake. Okay. And on my intake form, I have this little side box where I ask about your diet. Do you eat meat, chicken, fish? Do you eat gluten? Do you eat dairy? Do you eat sugar? Do you drink soda? And I ask, is it organic? I ask, do you drink coffee? Is it organic? I ask about, you know, your family support. I ask about, hey, were you born vaginally or by C-section? Hey, were you bottle fed? Okay. Mm-hmm. And these are, people are asking, why are you asking me that stupid question? Well, it goes way, way back. We are where we are today from everything that's happened to us in the past. And so, and then I also ask about, you know, hey, do you exercise? Okay. Hey, do you meditate? Are you spiritual? Do you have a spirituality aspect of your life? I don't care if it's Muslim, Catholic, agnostic, I just feel there's a greater spirit out there, whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But, and then I ask also about, you know, support. How's your family support? How's your social support? Do you have friends? If something happens, can you call someone? And then how's your job? What do you do for work? Right. And so all of these, functional medicine looks at the person as a whole. It's not just, oh shit, your blood pressure is 195 over 95. Okay, next. That's it, not it. And so functional medicine is, you know, a lot of Western medicine docs, and actually I've even heard some really smart podcast doctors like just shitting on functional medicine. And I'm like, holy cow, wow. They obviously don't know what they're talking about because, you know, and they'll say, well, that's not science backed. Well, yeah, it is actually. There's been literature in PubMed for 30 years about, you know, leaky gut, intestinal permeability. There's literature for 30, 40 years, 50 years about inflammation. I mean, even further, if you dig, you can find all that literature and it's out there and it's all science-based. Okay. And a lot of it is, you know, evidence-based medicine, you know. A lot of people think, oh, it's just voodoo shit. It's not. It's evidence-based medicine. You know, some of the most prolific functional medicine doctors are also, you know, publishing in magazines, and they're still reading the New England Journal of Medicine. They're still reading JAMA. They're still reading, you know, the Journal of Integrative Medicine, the Journal of Oncology, yada, 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 yada. And so it's not just, oh, hey, you got high blood pressure, I'm going to give you some grapefruit and some other supplements, off you go. No, it's not that way at all.
Well, and you know, so it's funny you mentioned it. it's funny you mentioned that, though, because what I got into, as a naturopath, I felt like I was just recommending supplements that would be the same. Like, it's literally like herbal pharma. I would be like, oh, you got high blood pressure? Okay, you know, let's give you some Hawthorn Berry or some Cardiotone. And I'm like, and because I was stuck in the insurance model too for many, many years. And it's like, I got my 15 minutes and I got to figure out how to get you some care. But I got frustrated because at that point, you can give someone as much Hawthorn Berry as you possibly want, or you can take it up to snake root. But the bottom line is if you don't get to the root cause of what's going on, they're going to be back in your office in a couple of weeks and be like, yeah, it helps. But every time I, you know, stress out, or every time I eat Cheetos, I don't know why I'm demonizing Cheetos today, but apparently that's what's happening today. Next week it's Takis. Look out. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that can happen with naturopathic medicine too. And I think that's too, where a lot of functional medicine docs get a bad rap, is they're like, oh yeah, I've heard from some of my patients, oh, they're just going to do a bunch of tests and give you buckets of supplements. That's all. And I'm like, well, no, wait a minute here.
I mean, you know, that could be a part of it. You know, the bottom line is, like, I mean, testing is good, you know, again, yes, evidence-based testing.
Yep.
But you do have to be wary of which testing facilities you're using, right? There's a, like, in every aspect of business, there's charlatans out there. Okay. Yeah. There are some charlatans in the integrative medicine field, the integrative oncology, you know, functional medicine, acupuncture. I mean, whatever, there's
all of it.
Maybe not charlatans. That might be a strong word, or just people that just aren't that good. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you got good plumbers, you got bad plumbers, you got good mechanics, you got bad mechanics, right? And so one of the things is, you're talking about people saying, well, like, hey, they're just going to give you a bucket full of supplements. Well, the bottom line is, if you eat the standard American diet, you're freaking malnourished, period.
Yep.
Right. And you don't have enough magnesium. You don't have enough zinc. You don't have enough vitamin D. You probably don't have enough vitamin C. You don't probably have enough selenium. And I mean, you know, selenium is super important for a conversion of, you know, T4 to T3. If you don't have that, guess what? You're going to feel like shit all the time, no matter what you do.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can see that people say that. I mean, honestly, in all transparency, I take handfuls of pills. I didn't used to. I used to think that that crap was just making expensive urine. But now that I know what I know, I take handfuls of supplements every day. But just to like level up my body and give my body what I need, you know, it's kind of like putting gas in the car or putting oil in your car. If you don't have enough good oil in the car, it's going to run like crap. Right. So.
No, I agree. I mean, we saw my supplement cabinet the one day I decided to show everybody in our group what was going on there. But the reality is, you know, before I used to be like, oh, I'm going to do this all with like herbs and food. And then I realized, I can't optimize with that. And what I'm going for at this stage of the game is optimization. Now, of course, I want to talk about your program and talking about leaky gut and, AKA intestinal permeability. I want to talk about how that is kind of the foundation to where things go off the rails. And I want to have you kind of transition into talking about your program a little bit, because guys, his program is so comprehensive. It literally, like Robert says, is he's going to teach you how to fish so that you can kind of take care of yourself basically afterwards. But it's so comprehensive. It's impressive. So give us the scoop. Tell us a little bit about leaky gut and how you kind of came to be like, yeah, this is where I want to focus my work on and expand from there.
You know, besides just teaching you how to fish, I actually give you the fish while I'm teaching you. You know, that's the cool. The comprehensiveness of the program is I needed to make it failure proof for people, because, you know, I can't just say, hey, do this, because people just don't do it. So no. Anyway, the reason I started focusing on leaky gut, and again, there is published data on intestinal permeability as far back as you can go, for eons about, I mean, they didn't have scientific microscopic evidence, but you know, I learned in surgery that actually when someone is really, really sick and septic, they used to call it bacterial translocation, right? So if you're super, super septic in the ICU, the bacteria inside your guts, actually your intestinal walls become porous and permeable, and the bacteria can translocate through that, get into your bloodstream, and it's all over. You're dead because you get so septic, you get overwhelmed by bacteria from the guts. Okay. So from your mouth to your butt is a tube, one solid tube that's actually outside your body. Even though it's inside your body, it's not inside. I don't know how I can explain that better. It's actually inside, but outside of your body. It's not part of the body. And your body, your intestines and your whole GI tract has to act. It has two things. It has to keep the bad things out and let the good things in. And so like what I said about when you're septic, your body just fails and it lets all the bad stuff in. And so when you eat food, it's covered in bacteria. You know, every one of us has 6 kilograms of bugs inside our guts, inside the intestinal lumen, which is the inside of the lumen. And those bugs are commensal bugs, right? They're bacteria, viruses, fungi. And those actually have, the word commensal means it's kind of a one-way street. They help us, but we don't help them. You know, like symbiotic is a little sucker on the shark. The sucker on the shark is cleaning it. And so they both get, and it's getting fed. So they both get a symbiotic relationship. They both benefit. Well, you know, the bugs don't really benefit from us, except for we're transporting them and keeping them alive. But we benefit greatly from the bugs inside our guts. And so over the course of the learning, I realized that, you know, when you have intestinal permeability, and everybody can look at my, Dr. Floyd's leaky gut solution on YouTube. And here's how I came to it basically, because I found myself drawing this picture over and over and over again in my clinic. And I'm like, I actually drew the picture. It was the cheesiest YouTube video I've ever done. I actually put my camera on a counter and drew it on a piece of paper on the floor, so because I didn't know how to do it at all. But it's called Leaky Gut for Dummies, parentheses, not you. And it actually explains why intestinal permeability is so bad, because what happens is, you know, real quick, you get decreased nutrient. the intestinal microvilli cells become porous, they get damaged, they get split, and then you have zonulin released. And what happens is the first step is you have decreased absorption, right? Decreased nutrient absorption. So that's one of the reasons why everybody's so sick and everybody has, we're malnourished. Like I said, everybody's vitamin D deficient, vitamin C deficient, zinc deficient. And it doesn't matter how many you take. If, you know, I have clients come in and they're like, well, I take two vitamin D's a day, but their vitamin D level is still like 21. I'm like, well, you've got, you know, leaky gut, you're not absorbing it well. So then the next step is then you have generalized inflammation and it's, you know, head to toe. It's not just right around your guts here. It's fingertip to fingertip, head to toe. And so it really stuck with me. I'm like, wait a minute. You have chronic low grade generalized inflammation every day for 25, 30, 40, 50 years, that can't be good. And then I started learning more and more and more, you know, and it kind of dawned on me that generalized inflammation is basically the root cause of all chronic disease and all imbalances in your body, right? Your body's fighting a war and at some time it's going to lose and say, "Up, I give up. Here's some autoimmune disease for you." So, and that's why I decided to really focus on, you know, healing the gut. And, you know, it really, truly, truly is a godsend. And I'll tell you, like, everyone's like, well, how do I know if I have leaky gut? You know how you have leaky gut? If you eat the standard American diet, you have leaky gut and you're going to get sick. So
yeah,
that's kind of how I decided to go that direction.
Nice. Now I mean, leaky gut, I think most people have the concept of it now, which is good. And your description was fascinating because you have a unique perspective on this. Not many functional medicine docs or naturopaths can say that they have seen people at their worst moments, the sickest of the sick, right? Because most of the time, ER visits warrant, you know, next level care. Plus, you were also talking about ICU situations of that matter. So you've seen, like you said, the sepsis, you've seen long-term inflammation too, in terms of what leaky gut can cause if it just keeps going and going and going. And in terms of like the worst, sickest folks that didn't get in a car accident or something, is it sepsis that you typically see? Or what is it that brings folks to the ER if they just like let their health go so much? Is there a common infection theme that you see?
Yeah. And I would say in the ER, you know, one of the worst things we see is like diabetic foot wounds. And, you know, we see that over and over and over, you know, and guess what happens when you get diabetes? And I tell people, I don't sugarcoat anything to patients. And, you know, I'm sure I've offended a few, but most of my clients and patients really thank me for being honest.
Yeah.
I tell them, listen, dude, you're 60 pounds overweight. You have diabetes. You have heart disease. You have a wound on your foot. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to start by hacking off your toes. And then we're going to, if you're lucky, we'll hack off half of your foot. And then we're going to hack off just below the knee. And then if we don't keep cutting, you're going to go into kidney failure. And guess what? Next thing, you're going to be on diabetes, on dialysis. And I mean, I don't sugarcoat it because there's no reason to sugarcoat it. People need to hear this and they need to, you know, if you're driving down the road and your check engine light comes on, what are you going to do? You're not going to just keep driving, right? So, you know, these illnesses are check engine lights basically. And so people need to figure out how they got to look under the hood. They got to wonder, okay, hi, doggy. They got
to say hello.
it's like putting diesel in your gas car and your gas engine. It doesn't work, right? And so, or you're putting the cheapest fuel in a Ferrari. Our human bodies are Ferraris and Lamborghinis. That's how advanced we are. I mean, you and I both have talked about this and we agree that the human body is absolutely genius and magnificent. And, you know, it has a redundancy in it, system after system after system, trying to make itself well, right? And all you got to do is get out of its way. But if you feed, you know, 85 octane gas into a Ferrari, guess what? It's not going to run well. And it's the same thing. You feed the standard American diet to these beautiful human bodies that we have, guess what? You're going to get sick. And so you know, I see a lot of the other things I see is, you know, obesity. That's one of the big things. And if you have leaky gut, it makes it really, really difficult to lose weight because your body's inflamed. Your body's in a storage. Your body's not in exercise and building. It's in a repair mode. You know, another thing I see in the ERs a lot is, you know, unfortunately, a lot of alcohol related incidents. And alcohol causes intestinal permeability. You know, there's a whole bunch of different things that cause intestinal permeability. It's not just gluten. Everyone's like, oh, it's just gluten. No, it's alcohol, NSAIDs. I mean, even stress. Mm-hmm. They've done scientific studies, you know, with microscopy that shows if you undergo stress, bam, they can show a increased amount of gut bacteria in your blood. And that's so
crazy. Yeah. I think it's good for people to hear because I like to talk about the stress impact. I mean, shoot, between my last year at my actual practice, I gained 15 pounds and I was like, I'm eating my normal, like super clean diet and here I am blowing up. And that's one of the things I'm trying to explain to patients that, you know, this is a thing. It's real. It is absolutely real. And it's something that even us folks who are doing the right things, if you don't have your stress in check, you're going to have some serious issues with leaky gut. So it is a factor for sure to look at for sure.
And one of the things, you know, it's funny, like, you know, all of us in this space that we're online and working and trying to help coach people, you know, people look at me, I'm pretty skinny. I'm, you know, 5'8", 155 pounds. I work out, I do jujitsu, but I eat well. But if I didn't eat well, you know, you can't work out, you can't exercise your way out of a bad diet. But the funny thing is like, you know, you said you'd put on a bunch of weight. What happened was too, was that another way I really got into this was when I went to medical school, I was built like I am now. I was living in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, just a kick-ass place. I was riding my dirt bike every day or skiing or mountain biking, building trails, whatever. I was fit. I went to medical school. And I came back from medical school, like 190 pounds. So I was fat, actually. I mean, I just saw a picture, not too long ago. And my wife's like, oh my God, look at your belly. And so it's funny because like, I'm not just some skinny guy telling people to lose weight, right? I've been there. I've been through this. And, you know, you know, you asked again how I got into this is I was reading a book, a great book, The Paleo Solution by Rob Wolf. Mm-hmm. And I was reading it, sitting at the dinner table, my wife's in the kitchen doing something. I'm like, Kimmy, we got to try this. She's like, no, I don't want to do that. 2 weeks later, whatever, I'm like, Kimmy, we really should try this. And she kept, you know, poo-pooing it. And so finally, you know, after bugging her enough, she's like, fine, okay, leave me alone. I'll do it for a month. And so she's like, okay, so we really went hardcore into the paleo diet. And, you know, within 2 weeks, I mean, I was losing weight, but within 2 weeks, my wife was like, oh my God, I cannot believe how much better I feel. She's like, I don't have any bloating. I'm eating. I'm not feeling like shit. I feel really, really good. And that was like, and kind of like the catalyst, like to see like, you know, I always thought everybody says they eat well, right? But like when you take out a couple different things out of your diet, you can really see changes and then if you introduce them back in, you can really map it out. Oh, this is what's not good for me. This is what's not good for me. You know, I had a friend of mine I do jits with and he's like, yeah, dude, thanks to you, I eliminated this, and this. And, you know, I was able to eat everything. I added stuff back. But man, when I added gluten, he's like, I had diarrhea like instantly. He's like, so I don't eat gluten anymore. And I said, well, dude, you were probably a celiac. So, you know, and that's you know, you are what you don't poop out, basically. It's not what you are, what you eat. You are what you don't poop out. And so like, if you are absorbing a bunch of garbage, you turn into garbage. So anyway,
I like that quote. We're going to use that for sure in some of this podcast promo. You are what you poop out.
You are what you don't poop out.
Right. You are what you don't poop out best because you're holding on to it. I better even get my quote right.
And your program, you do a lot of detox, right?
Detox, definitely gut stuff too. I don't necessarily call it all the leaky gut, you know, healing, but it is. I mean, it's a reset. I like about your program, guys, you got to hear this. He has a food company that he works with that literally will bring, you know, send food to, which I find absolutely fascinating. I didn't think of that because I was stuck in the world of, well, I'm going to teach you guys how to cook, but I do understand how hard it is for folks to really get that down and really start to get into that sequence. How do you work with that while you're using, so you're using Icon is what you're saying, the company Icon, yep. And you're teaching people how to cook for themselves at the same time. How do you integrate that? I'm just curious.
I don't really teach people how to cook. I kind of like, I use that as an example of the kinds of foods you should eat.
Okay.
And then the big learning portion of my program is these are the foods you need to avoid. Mm-hmm. This is how you avoid them. You know, this is why we do this. Okay. This is why we go, you know, on a paleo style lifestyle. Mm-hmm. This is why we avoid gluten. This is why we avoid dairy. This is why we avoid sugar. This is why we avoid artificial sweeteners. This is why you need to eat a ton of fiber. And so the education portion of it is I think like one of the most important aspects of the program. Again, like you said, though, my program, I'm teaching you how to fish, but I'm giving you the fish while you're learning. You know, I deliver 144 meals to the door. I deliver 3 months worth of supplements that I've handpicked, one for gut health, one for sleep, one for energy, and one for brain health. And then also we do juices, and you can do a juice fast. I ask them to do it one day a week. I think Sunday's good, but you can do it. People can do it whatever. I've had people move it to Monday, to move it to Tuesday. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And so again, I'm like, and why you're doing this, I decided to do this because this way it's failure proof. All you got to do is hold on, get in, sit down, shut up and hold on. Okay.
I've seen that t-shirt somewhere before.
I know. I might use that as an ad.
You should. Like, there was a whole market for it. My dad's whole sprint car racers guys, they all had those shirts for like ever. It was a big thing.
I'm gonna use that for sure. But I wanted to make it failure proof. And I've had people say, well, oh, just give them, you know, teach them how to cook or tell them to cook this. It's like, it's way too difficult. I want to make this easy so that people are going to be like, oh my God, this was amazing. I mean, I've had people, you know, I had this one guy who's 308 pounds, you know, he lost, you know, almost 30 pounds on the course. I've had other guys lose 60 pounds, other guys lose 50 pounds. Unfortunately, women seem to lose weight a little bit slower than men, but they their body transforms. They may not lose the poundage like men are, but they're going down in dress sizes or, you know, clothing sizes, and they feel better, you know? And what I tell people is, like, I say, okay, weigh yourself at the beginning, take some labs at the beginning, you know, CBC, CMP, renal function, you know, vitamins, yada, yada, yada. And then I said, you know, I don't want you to weigh yourself throughout the whole program because the weight loss is an added benefit. Okay. That's just an added benefit of you optimizing. Like you said, you optimize. I optimize people's Ferraris, basically. I'm like the master mechanic for their Ferrari. And then the weight just starts coming off and the energy starts coming up. The sleeping starts getting better. Their cognition gets better. Their brain fog lifts. You know, everything is just improved. I had this one guy, he's a bodybuilder. He's just buffed as hell. I mean, his arms are as big as my thighs. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to be like my standard, you know, client. Cause he works out all the time. He's very, very knowledgeable about food and supplements. But he lost, you know, I think he said he lost 11 pounds. His body's transformed into a positive, you know, a better physique. I mean, hard to believe. Cause I mean, the guy's arms are like this big around, like they're huge. But what did improve was his inflammation markers and his kidney function. And, you know, he was talking about like, holy cow, the doctor before me, the regular doctor said, he's not going to get better. My kidney function is not going to get better. Well, you know, thank you, Dr. Floyd. My kidney function's better. And you know what? My inflammation markers are down. And so, I mean, these things are, you can have objective results. They're not subjective. Oh, I feel better. I sleep better. No, we have objective results. So, and that's why I ask for clients to get labs before, weigh themselves before. I actually also ask them to, you know, get in their skivvies, take pictures. Okay. Mm-hmm. At the beginning and at the very end, take a picture and let me see how you transformed. And I've seen a lot of wonderful transformations. So.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I mean, it's one of those things that it will come. It will definitely come with optimizing and changing your health. What labs do you do? I mean, I know you're saying kind of the CMPs, and so guys, that's complete metabolic panel, and CBCs is your blood count, and then CRP is inflammation markers coming out of the liver. But are you doing any stool testing? Are you doing any like metabolic types of stuff? No. Okay. Okay.
Not really. No, because one of the things, I mean, I've thought about doing it, but to me, it's too convoluted. It's too much. Takes too much time. You know, I want to get people enrolled on the program as fast as possible. I want someone to call me up and be like, here's your credit card, boom. I mean, I could, but I just know deep down, like, yeah, your stool profile is going to improve if you cut out the garbage and feed the good, you know? And so, you know, the CRP and SED rate are the markers for inflammation. It's just basic, simple labs that, you know, and even if people don't get labs, it doesn't really matter to me. I just ask them to. I'm not like, well, you have to do these, you know. So it's just, I know for a fact by changing this. And one of the things that I say a lot is that, you know, this is not a diet. This is a lifestyle transformation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You've made it, let's say you're 55, right? You've had a lifestyle that's gotten you to where you are. You're 45 pounds overweight. You're on 3 different medications. You feel like shit. You might not even be able to get erections because that's part of, you know, leaky gut and generalized inflammation, insulin resistance, yada, 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 your hormone imbalance. And so, you know, I tell people, this is not a diet. Diets fail, lifestyles don't. So this is a lifestyle transformation. And that's what I say when I'm teaching you how to fish, because I want you to be able to fish for the rest of your life. And I want you to be able to follow this program for the rest of your life. This is not a diet that in 12 weeks, you're going to just go back to doing what you were doing. Right. And that's why, to me, the educational component is so vital. Right. I mean, you know, that's what you do. You educate people, you teach people. And I mean, I imagine you would notice too, when people learn and they're engaged, they get better results. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. So I think you've given folks right now like so much information to think about that they might be going like, all right, how do I learn more from you? And you mentioned your YouTube channel, so I want to know that. Plus, we gotta send them to your masterclass so that they can learn more from you. So first off, what's the YouTube channel?
Dr. Floyd's Leaky Gut Solution channel.
Okay.
We'll post this all in the bottom as well. And then my webinar is kind of like the story of how I got to where I got and why I'm doing what I'm doing and how it's going to help you. That is www.trimdown, power up, just like it sounds, powerup.com/register. And then I've also got my Leaky Gut Solution website. And we'll, again, put this in, it's Leaky Gut Solution, but there's a hyphen because that Leaky Gut Solution was taken. I couldn't find that name. But there's a hyphen between gut and solution, .mykajabi.com. And again, we'll put these all down there so they're easy to find. And then, you know, Instagram is Healthy to the Core. That's H-E-A-L-T-H-Y, the number 2, the core. Just for, you know, getting to know, kind of see some, I post a lot of good inspirational stuff, things, just knowledge nuggets, you know. I'm just trying to put knowledge out there and help, you know, make it, give people, you know, give them something they can use. And then also, my Facebook page is, Dr. Robert Floyd, MD.
Nice. So. Nice. All right. Plenty of places to find more out about you, interact more with you, and just learn the wealth of knowledge, but the reality of things, because like I said before, guys, he's got a unique perspective that I can't bring to the table because I've not worked in the ER. And I think that in and of itself. Rural medicine is another extremely useful background to have. And so he's got some perspectives that a lot of us won't have. And I think this is huge. So you guys go check out all of the resources that we just listed. I'm going to put it over at drjkrausnd.com. Dr. Robert, thank you so much for chatting with me and coming on and just sharing your whole story. I think this is going to be really valuable for folks.
Well, thank you. That's awesome. I love it. Thank you. I'm honored to, you know, talk with you and be on your podcast. So, and you know, again, just like you, I just want to get people better and make the world better.
That is the MO here. So we'll probably be talking again here in the future. We'll come up with some specific topics for folks, because I think we've got a lot of dialoguing we can do to help this sick world, help heal people.
And on your side, how do people get a hold of you? And because you do optimization of hormones and mm-hmm. weight loss and stuff for menopausal women, is that correct?
Yep, perimenopausal and menopausal women. Mine's Defy Aging. Women. Yep, defyagingformula.com.
Okay, because cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna post this on my channel too. And you know, if someone resonates with you, I'd love to send them to you. So, you know, let's all get together and make the world a better place. We'll and you know, and one more thing. One of the things I like about our programs is that our clients can learn these things and then share them with their family. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's really, really important, because, you know, there's a tsunami of disease coming. I mean, it's already almost here. And, you know, if you have children or grandchildren, you need to teach them how to eat well, or they're going to be sicker than you, and they're going to be sicker than you, and the next generation is going to be sicker than you. So that's one of the beautiful things that we can do by educating people. And, you know, I want my clients to show their family and show their children and their grandchildren, because, you know, we all deserve to be healthy. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's family programs here, folks. Thank you once again.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.